Good morning. Beautiful day out there, wonderful day in here, a lot of great things going on in the life of the church. If you're visiting with us, very special welcome to you. Encourage all of you to register your attendance on the pads that are provided. This is Senior Sunday as well as Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the church. We have 15 seniors that will be graduating or have graduated. They're being celebrated in the other service going on at the same time. And when you see our seniors, be sure and congratulate them. This is a big step and a big moment in their life, and we're very proud of all 15 of them. Want to remind you, 2 o'clock this afternoon, very special lady is retiring, not from the church, but from her position with the Child Development Center, Myra Harris. There will be a party for her, a retirement party. We appreciate the hundreds and hundreds of hours and all the energy that Myra put into the development of this center. It's got a great reputation, and they've touched a lot of lives and a lot of children. So let's come and wish Myra a great retirement. And I'm sure that Anita and the church office will find many things to volunteer her for in the days ahead. A lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Let's take a moment and greet one another and welcome each other to worship.
Lord, I will pray.
Standing and join with me in the call to worship. And in the last days it shall come to pass, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh.
And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old shall dream dreams, and your young shall see visions.
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place.
And suddenly a sound came.
And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Fill it with love and joy.
affirmation of faith this morning is number 885 in your hymnal. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Good morning. Do I have some friends this morning? Good morning. How are you this morning? Good. Okay, well, I brought a few things today. Okay, you ready? Here we go. When we have a party, what do we need to have? Well, we have cake. That's right. We need to have decorations like what? Voila. Who wants to hold my balloon? Okay, hope you want to hold my balloon. Okay, what else do we have when we have a party? Shep? We have cake. What else do we have? Okay, we're going to have candy. What else? Games. We might have some games. What else do we need? The choir said it. Presents. There we go. We all have presents. Chip's going to hold the present. Okay, so, but I want you to look at it. We seem to have a little scheme going on, right? Okay, no, we're not opening. Okay, what color is this? Red. What color is this? And what color is the icing on the cake? Red. And what is the color of the candles? Red. What is today? Pentecost. Very good, Hope. Pentecost. And what's the color for Pentecost? Red. And you know why? Because what came today? The Holy Spirit. That's right. But today is really the birthday of the church. Did you know that? And so I need your help. We have our balloons and we have our presents. And the Holy Spirit is here because the candles are going. But I want y'all to do me a favor today. Will you do me a favor? Can we sing happy birthday to the church? Will y'all help me? The choir helped me at the first service. Do you think the congregation would help me this morning? Okay, we did have, here we go. And you know what? Because there's a lot of y'all, we're going to light all the candles on our candle. And I want you to know that Mr. Hunter wanted me to put 2013 on the candles today. We are. Ready? Here we go.
Happy birthday.
And thank you for the balloon. Here we go. You ready? Let's pray. Dear gracious God, thank you for today. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to entrust us, to empower us. Thank you for the birthday of your church. We just ask that you be with us, take us into next week, and bring us back safely next week. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Now I must go away, and you must stay. share my love so others will know my love. For I have loved you. I have loved you.
As we go to God in prayer this morning, I call your attention to our prayer concerns printed in your bulletin. And we want to add our seniors. We want to remember them and keep them in our hearts and in our prayers as they move on to this next phase of their life. Let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, who birthed your church with rushing wind and tongues of fire, and on that day you sent upon the first disciples the gift of your Holy Spirit. Pour that Spirit about upon us this day. Open our hearts to your living power. And we thank you for this day when we celebrate Pentecost and the gift of your Holy Spirit. We long for renewal and to be a people of transformation. Dear God, remind us on this day that all things are possible thanks to the gift of your Holy Spirit working in and through us. Whenever we become discouraged, keep us mindful that we're not alone, that you're with us, guiding and empowering us along each step of our walk with you. And all around us are signs of your kingdom. And this morning, as we see the color red prominent in our sanctuary, reminding us of the fire of the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday, we think of yesterday's Change the World mission outreach and the many people we were able to help in our community. Grant us the dreams and visions you have promised, and make us messengers of the good news of Christ so that all people may be moved by the witness we make and brought closer and closer to you. Oh God of our beginnings, we thank you for the gifts of these graduates. They have blessed us and challenged us, and they have inspired us with their commitment to you and to the church. And we have become a richer church family because of them. Walk with the graduates as they step forward into the world that awaits and reassure them. Take away their anxiety and help them to know that peace that only you give. And may they never lack a passion for service to others through you and for you. And may they always remember that no matter how far they go and where they go to, that this church will always be their family and their home. All this we pray in the strong and loving name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. After weeks of publicity and announcements and sign-up sheets and T-shirts, yesterday was Change the World Day. 57 volunteers from Asbury Methodist Church serve this community. at the Rice Depot, Habitat for Humanity. Here in the Wilson Activity Center, they prepared 200 kits for the homeless. And at the Salvation Army, cooking and serving breakfast. It was a wonderful day. It was a blessing for those who received these gifts, but I think for those of us who volunteered, we received the real blessing. And I am thankful for your support and for the many volunteers and coordinators that made Change the World Day the day that it was. Let us pray. Generous God, we come with our offerings in response to your love and with the new life we have in Christ. We give ourselves in service to others. Our prayer is that the Holy Spirit will fill us with energy and enthusiasm, and that we will inflame all your people with a zeal to work for you, serve you, and worship you. We offer you ourselves and our gifts. Bless them. In Christ's holy name, amen.
May be seated. It is indeed a very special day today. Not only is it a day that we have gathered to worship God, but it is a day that we celebrate the birth of the church, when God's Spirit inhabited the hearts of the disciples as they were waiting on what they were to do after Jesus had been raised from the dead. And God's Spirit anointed them to go and to preach the good news into all the world, and became the birth of the church. So today is a very special day as we celebrate that and we remember that, but we also hope that God's Spirit would again inhabit our hearts to renew us and transform us, that we might be the people God calls us to be. Our scripture lessons today come from the book of Acts. The second chapter will be reading verses 1 through 8. And we'll also be reading from the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, and we'll be reading chapter 12, reading verses 3 through 13. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to read along. You can also read along in the Pew Bibles, and those page numbers are outlined for you in our bulletin. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 8. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" And from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 3 through 13. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates them all in everyone. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discernment of the spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, it is with grateful and thankful hearts that we have entered into this place. Because we have experienced your love in many and mighty ways, we have come to sing our praise to you and to tell of our love for you. And yet, as we have entered into this place, we have encountered your Spirit. And your Spirit has again anointed us and blessed us and called us out into your world. So we ask that your word would inhabit our hearts, that it would grow and bear fruit, that we might be the people you call us to be. Teach us by your Spirit that we may go forth. O God, allow my words to be your words by the power of your Spirit. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. If you can imagine, when my brothers and I were much younger, when we were kids, everything was a competition. When we played basketball in the driveway, it was every man for himself. Even though there were three of us, it was every man for himself. When we threw baseball, it wasn't just a friendly game of catch to go out in the backyard and enjoy. No, we tried to see who could fly, who could throw the ball higher, who could throw the ball harder, who could make the greatest catch. There were a couple of times in which balls went sailing by accident, into cars, or on an occasion through windows, you can imagine. There was the one time where I accidentally threw the ball so hard that my brother was unable to catch it. He was a terrible baseball player. And it went right through the stained glass, one of a kind stained glass window at the front door, unable to be replaced. But it was competition, it didn't matter. Everything to us was competition. Even when we went to McDonald's or to Burger King or to Wendy's and we got our food, we would all look at our French fry packets and see who had the largest fry. It was all a competition. And as you can imagine, those competitions produced many a good arguments among us, which in turn fueled the competition even more, right? Because if you lost in the last endeavor, whatever we decided we were competing on at the time, it would fuel the desire to beat your brother the next time, whatever it may be. Even though the fierceness of our competition has died down just a little bit over the course of our lives, we still, on occasion, you know, try to prove our sense of worth by upping the other individual. My older brother and I, who is also United Methodist clergy, he serves in East Tennessee, we call each other on Sunday afternoons to talk about how our sermons went. Of course, we're really wondering who had the better sermon. I think I'm going to start, I may actually ask him to listen to this sermon online so that he will know who had the better sermon and who got bested in the sermon. But we still have this sense of competition among ourselves. A sense of one-upping the other to prove our self-worth. But it seems that this one-upsmanship is built into the very fabric of who we are. The way toward a sense of worth and value in our culture is to be the best, to be the greatest, to be number one. Those who are not number one are not or don't have great worth. But those who do great things, who are out in front, who are number one, those are the worthy individuals. Of course, in order to achieve such worth, it would be ludicrous to think that we should ask for help from anyone else. In our culture, rather, we value autonomy. We value our ability to achieve and to succeed all by ourselves. You know, if you think about it for a moment, we often feel the least successful when we have to depend on someone else to help us out, do we not? When someone else has to help us to the car, or when someone else has to drive, or when someone else has to help carry the heavy load because we're not as able to do so, we feel less than successful. We are fiercely independent in our society, so much so that we would rather knock people off or see people fall than share success. Eugene Peterson, a well-known pastor and preacher, tells a story about when he was a kid. He and his two buddies would always meet up to walk to school together, and as they would walk to school, it just so happened that part of their path, they would encounter railroad tracks. And they would often compete with one another to see who could balance on those railroad tracks the best. How long could they make it without falling off? Now, it would be foolish to think, he said, that we would actually cheer one another on when they got to a certain point. No, what actually ended up happening is we would become jealous of one another. David made it much farther than Nathan did, so I need some way to knock him off the rail. So before he knew it, he was picking up rocks. Probably not that big. Picking up rocks and throwing them at the feet of his friends, hoping that they would fall off the railway. Keeping and preventing them from succeeding in that independent endeavor. Jealousy set in. And reflecting on this childhood experience, he says, you know, some have supposed that this is what the Christian life is about. Teetering and wobbling along a rail, taunted, and yet with some skill and some luck by our own power, we just might make it. But you know, it seems like a very uncertain and, might I add, lonely business at best. You see, the competitive autonomy of our culture bleeds into our Christian life. Too often we have turned faith into an independent endeavor, a personal matter between the soul and God and the soul. And that's all that matters. Karl Barth, a theologian of the 20th century, once wrote, "We act as if Christianity as a whole were a matter of the closet. Indeed, our own private closet. So one finds oneself together with other persons sitting around in the congregation in order to secure the consolation and joy of the gospel. And yet the community extends no further. We come in, we gather together, we sit around with one another, and we leave and go our separate ways to live the Christian life. Religion beforehand and afterward remains a matter between the soul and God and the soul, and only that, we are told." Certainly, this is a lonely endeavor. And yet, this is what our culture tells us. Faith is a private affair. It can't bleed into the public realm. And yet, maybe we kind of enjoy the fact that faith is a personal and private endeavor. After all, if it's not a personal and private endeavor, it gets very messy if it's a public endeavor. For if faith is only a private endeavor, we don't have to get involved in other people's lives in any great depth. We can keep our relationships at a very cordial and surface level. And such privatization of faith certainly protects us from knowing people more deeply, and even more importantly, from others knowing us more deeply. It protects us from being vulnerable when faith is just a private affair. We can share our thoughts and we can share our ideas with one another, but it won't affect who we are. For if we become vulnerable, we risk ourselves. If we become an open book and we open our lives, we risk other people looking at us, examining us, judging us, casting us off. So I would bet that we are probably a little more comfortable with teetering and wobbling on the private sector of faith, so that lives really don't have to intersect unless they have to. For we want to convince ourselves that what matters in faith is the betterment of the individual and self-fulfillment. And anything else just indeed gets too messy and too involved. So we have this high and lofty calling from God to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to follow in his footsteps and follow his example, to be holy as I am holy, God says. And yet we try to pursue it as individuals. And before we know it, this high and lofty calling of being God's representatives in the world becomes too hard. It becomes too impersonal. It becomes too institutionalized. If you just follow this process, you will become who God has created you to be. And so we work our busy hands in God's work, relying on our own strength, and yet experiencing little of what God has for us and what salvation really is about. Today in our scripture lesson, we discover that God's intention, that God's plan for us is not to live the calling to be disciples alone. God had never intended for our Christian walk to be done alone, to be done in our own private closets. Rather, God intended that we walk with one another. Instead, in fact, of God leaving us alone, we learn that as we wobble and teeter, I mean, I like weeble personally. As we wobble and teeter in this endeavor, we don't do it alone. But God's Spirit empowers us. God's Spirit inhabits our heart. God does not want us to walk alone, nor will God allow us to walk alone. But rather, God's Spirit enters into those who want to follow Jesus so that they might not live this endeavor alone. At the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus is with his disciples one last time in the first chapter. Before he ascends to the Father, and the disciples are talking with Jesus, and they look at Jesus and they ask Jesus, "Is it time when you will restore the kingdom?" In other words, now that you have been raised from the dead, is it time for you to finish what you have started? Is it time for you to bring to completion your desire to make all things new? Is now the time? And Jesus replies, "No. No, that time is for the Father to know. However, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit, and you will become my witnesses." The disciples think that Jesus is going to do this all by himself. And yet what they learn is that Jesus is conscripting them into his ministry. "It's not time for my work to be completed, but you will join this work, and you will receive the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses in the world, and you will join together in my work." Jesus' disciples are commissioned to be witnesses, and yet Jesus knows that they cannot do it on their own, but rather he promises that the Holy Spirit will inhabit their hearts, will be with them. Then and only then will it be possible to live as God intends us to live in the world. God, after all, is a Trinitarian God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By God's very nature, God is communal. Because God is love, God invites others to participate. And so we are invited to be a part of God's work. And yet God promises that the Spirit will empower us to that work. Today is Pentecost. It is the day in which we celebrate the inhabitation of the Spirit in the hearts of the first disciples. As they live between the call to be God's representatives in the world and between their own doubts that they could do it, we celebrate that their doubts did not overcome them because God's Spirit was moving already in their lives that they might do the work of God. That it wasn't reliant on their own strength, but rather that God so much loved the world that he not only sent his Son, but he sent his Spirit so the world might be renewed through God's people. See, sometimes we like to believe that we have it all in us to do this walk, and yet so often we remember we don't. There are probably many times in your life when you realize that I'm going to try to do this Christian thing, and you go out with great fervor. I'm going to go out and serve as many poor as I can. I'm going to go out and preach a great sermon. And then you sit down to write, or you sit down to serve, or you stand in a line and you are overwhelmed. And yet, before you know it, words are put on pages. People are being fed. Resources show up because the Spirit inhabits the heart. You see, we are dependent, not independent. Dependent on God's Spirit because that is the way God made us. Creatures of the Creator. Hoping that the Spirit might recreate us, make us new, remold us, reform us into the people God desires us to be. And so with the work of the Spirit, we go out. But even then, we often forget one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us through the Spirit. For not only do we not walk alone in this journey of faith, because the Spirit is with us, but we do not walk alone because God has given us the gift of one another through the power of the Spirit. At Pentecost, the disciples were indeed gathered together. They weren't in other houses sitting around on their lounge chairs hoping that the Spirit would inhabit their hearts in those different locations. But rather, they were all gathered together in prayer and in praise, waiting for the Spirit to inhabit their hearts because the Spirit had already begun to bind them together to one common goal and one common ministry, and that is to be the example of Christ in the world. The book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament is a witness to the power of the Spirit to bind the people of God together in ministry. We are not alone because God is with us, and we are never alone because God is a God of community and draws us together as a community that we might serve and live in the world together. Paul reminds you and I in 1 Corinthians to not be foolish. To not think that we have it in ourselves to accomplish the goals of being a child of God. But rather that we have a need for one another. That everyone comes to the table offering gifts for the betterment of the community. One of the things we often forget is that salvation, according to Scripture, is not about the salvation of a personal soul. But rather, when you get to the book of Revelation, and you get to the final chapter, and you see a vision of what salvation is to look like, it is not simply a renewal of the individual, but rather, what does God say? God says, "Behold, I make all things new." That salvation is not simply about the individual heart, though it is indeed part of God's salvation, but rather God is making a new creation. And the church, which is bound together by the Spirit, becomes a visible sign, a foretaste of what that community is to look like, of what that new creation is to be, of how God's love is to inhabit the world, how God's forgiveness is to be realized, how we are to serve and care for one another and encourage one another. The church is the first fruits of that new creation. God is making all things new. And through all of us gathered here, the way that we live with one another, the way that we encourage one another, the way that we act out costly forgiveness, the way that we stick with one another even when we disagree with one another, that God's Spirit inhabits our hearts and makes us new. That becomes signs of a new creation. And that is what God desires of us. John Wesley once said that there is no holiness without social holiness. This quote has often been the most misrepresented quote of John Wesley. So many people take it out of context and take it to mean other things. But what John Wesley meant when he said that there is no holiness without social holiness is that there is no solitary Christian. We cannot be Christians alone. Holiness, that to which we have been called and that to which we have been created, is only possible in community. The dirty, the messy, the broken community being renewed by God's love. Such is only possible through the Holy Spirit who inhabits our hearts. So the question is, are we willing to go against the grain of the world that tells us we are the masters of our own ships, that our opinions are what matters? Or are we willing to follow the Spirit who is making all things new? Let it be so. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 332. Spirit of Faith, Come Down. If you desire to join with the church this day, to become a part of this community, we invite you to do this at this time. We also invite you, if you've never professed your faith and would like to do so openly, or you want to renew your faith today, our altar is open that you might pray that your faith might be renewed. Let us be standing and join together in song. Praise be to God that God's Spirit indeed inhabits our hearts. Today we have before us Gloria Hopkins, who has been visiting our church, I think when we started our service a couple years ago. And she's been visiting for a while and has made it her desire to become a member of this church and become a member here. She grew up in the church and grew up going to the Methodist Church and the Church of Christ, or First Christian Church, and so she's an interdenominational person of faith who has joined together in other bodies, and now she is joining together with us to become a part of this church family. So I ask you, on behalf of the church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
Yes, I will.
Well, we want to welcome you into the life of this church, and will you welcome her in Christian love this morning? I've asked Gloria to be at the back with us. If you would like to greet her as you leave, please take time to do so and welcome her in Christian love. Receive now this benediction. Go in the power of the Spirit to be God's people in the world. Go in peace and go in faith. Amen.
Amen.